The way they described me, they just gave me an award. They were like, dependable, authentic, friendly, energetic, with the mouth of a trucker.
I love it. So it was friendly and what?
Beautiful things you could describe any Mormon woman with the mouth of a trucker.
I love it.
Don't forget adorable.
Well, it's sitting right here in front of me, but adorable was not even on it. What the fuck?
Hey, Warners, welcome to Women Your Mother Warned You About, the podcast that makes everything sexy again. I'm Gina Tremarco, sales trainer at Pivot 10 Results and founder of Carolina Improv, which is ranked number one on TripAdvisor for nightlife attractions in Myrtle Beach since 2010. Rachel can't be here with us today, but we got the man of the hour.
Hey, Gina.
Hi, Keith Walters. How are you, Keith?
I am doing incredibly well. I miss having Rachel on here, but we're going to have some fun today.
I know. We substituted her with another blonde.
Oh, wow. Okay.
No, we don't mean it. We don't mean it like
that. That was Gina. That wasn't me.
We don't mean it like that. We missed our regular adorable. No, Jill's adorable. We'll talk about that later. Yeah. We missed our Rachel, but we had Jill Young on the show that we just interviewed her, and she. Well, do you want to describe her?
Well, I love the description: friendly, adorable, and with the mouth of a trucker.
Yes, and when you look at her, you don't think that.
No, not at all. Jill is. A beautiful, petite blonde woman, just a wonderful person. But man, she can.
I thought I had a lot of energy, and that I talked a lot.
Oh yeah, this woman is all energy.
All energy, and you know what, Keith? You kept up.
I got to go take a nap.
I'm happy. Whatever pills you took to keep up with us. Thank you for that, because you did a great job.
Yeah.
So a little bit about Jill Young before we get started. Jill is a certified EOS implementer with Traction First. And for those of you who don't know what EOS is, guess what? We're going to dive into that. You'll learn about it on the show. Jill grew up in an entrepreneurial family and learned the advantages of having a clear vision and doing what you say you'll do. From an early age, she witnessed and participated in the struggles and successes of the family business, and those experiences influenced who she is as a business leader today. After earning a BS in psychology and an MBA, Jill held leadership positions in the human resources, for-profit education, and professional training industries. Before becoming an EOS implementer full-time, she was the president of a forward-thinking, business solution-based CPA firm. Her role was to advise and guide the business owners that they served using the EOS tools. Having been a certified EOS implementer since 2014, she's had the opportunity of implementing EOS with over 80 companies, and she continues to coach entrepreneurs in Texas who are on a journey to become their best. And she adds in, no wimps or dictators allowed. She's also the author of Earn It, The Tools You Need to Earn the Money You Want, a book written for the employees of entrepreneurial companies, and her newest book, Encourage, and you'll learn more about that on this episode. Anything else you have to add, Keith?
No, she is just on fire. And, you know, and I think a number of our listeners know, I'm a huge EOS fan. I've used EOS quite a bit and have actually been subject of some, you know, included in some of the books on EOS in my former company have, because we used it so much to our success. If you are an entrepreneur out there and you're not using a tool such as EOS, and there are some other ones, but they are so phenomenal to help companies just grow, prosper, and do so well.
And it's really cool because there are not as many female implementers out there, and we talk about that on this show. So that's pretty cool. I'll give a shout out to my friend John Fulwider in Lincoln, Nebraska, because I know he listens to this show all the time. And if I don't mention him, well, I just need to mention he's an implementer in Lincoln because I told him I would do that. So, because that's what good friends do.
That's right.
And before we jump in, a quick shout out to Dermavogue, the sponsor of this show. Check them out at dermavogue.com. They keep Rachel and I prettier than we already are.
How can that be?
I know.
It's amazing. True. Yes.
It's true. All right, Keith, let's get started with this show with Jill Young.
All right.
Jill, welcome to Women Your Mother Warned You About.
I'm very excited and a little bit nervous.
Don't be nervous. We will be very gentle with you. And hopefully you've been warned about our show by the amazing Keith Walters.
That is
Did he warn you?
He did.
What did he tell you?
So I saw him at an event and I said, Keith, what have you been up to? And he says, how do you feel about a little irreverence? And I said, oh, fuck yeah. And he handed me this card, like this underground society. I'm like, what is going on? Oh, so I listened to a few episodes and laughed my ass off.
Oh my God.
I'm really excited.
Do you remember which episodes you listened to?
I've listened to so many now. I couldn't remember.
Fantastic. Maybe you should be a sponsor.
Yeah, there you go.
Selling.
Could you wait until after we're done with the interview? Because at the end you might go, oh my gosh, she's
I was telling her some about my strategies and ideas before you got on, Keith, of things I was trying to convince you to do.
That's an idea. You're a visionary. You have lots of ideas.
Yes, I do. Right, Keith?
She has lots of ideas.
Lots of ideas.
Yes, I think on the culture index, I think I scored somewhere of like with ingenuity so far out there that out of 100 ideas I have, only one will be good. That's what Jason told me. I want to break the ice with this question before we jump into other questions. Do you consider yourself a woman your mother warned you about?
Oh, that's really good. Okay, I was telling my boys that I was going to be on this podcast called Women Your Mother Warned You About. And they just bury themselves into their hands like, oh my
gosh, awesome, let's get started.
My mother is going to embarrass me again. Because I do. We walk through the grocery store and they'll go, mother, who's the adult? And I'll go, not it. I don't want to be the adult, not it. Well, I just love to have fun. So do I consider myself? Well, here's the thing, who are we warning? And whose mother?
I know it's a really deep, complex question.
Cool? Yeah. Is it a really cool, awesome, open-minded mother? Then no, she's not warning you about me. She's like, this is who you want to be best friends with.
We've been asking that question, and sometimes we get these weird answers, but we were phrasing it differently. And I don't know, Keith, if you've heard it, but we asked one person, how would you define a woman your mother warned you about? And she went on so negatively. We're like, abort, abort, abort. we're like, okay, let's rephrase the question.
Do you know the title of the podcast?
So now I've changed how we ask the question. And then I say, okay, if you consider yourself a woman your mother warned you about, how would you describe a woman your mother warned you about in the terms of Jill?
Okay, well, I'm going to go kind of to neuroscience because I know, Keith, you're laughing. Because here's the thing. And I heard this a couple of years ago, and it was just so, so great. It said, don't do what your parents tell you to do. And it's because your parents want you to be risk-free and your parents want you to be safe and, just kind of status quo. And they don't want you to feel any pain. I mean, that's how I feel about my little boys. I don't want them to have any pain. That's the mother in me. So I kind of look at it and I say, yeah, there's probably people out there that warn their children about women like us, Gina and honorary Because we will break the mold. We will be open and honest. We'll be vulnerable. We'll challenge status quo. We want to win. We want to help others win with us. And we're just going to be out there and we're going to say it. And you know what? It's not always going to be great. So do you want your child to be a friend with somebody like that? Probably not if you're looking at safety and security. So there you go. So yes, I probably am. I probably warned my own kids about me.
Well, obviously when you're like adulting, nope, not it.
Not it. Uh-huh.
Not it.
Now I don't have to be the adult. That's right.
Excellent. I thought that'd be a great way to start the show. Keith, what do you think?
So Jill, do you have any brothers? Do you have any brothers and sisters?
I do. I was a baby in the family. Mm-hmm. Newsflash. Mm-hmm. My culture index profile, Gina, since you shared a little bit with us, I'm a rainmaker. And I'm the youngest child. So,
and brothers or sisters?
Brothers and sisters.
Okay.
The youngest by 10 years. I've got an oldest brother that's 14 years older, and then twins that are 10 years older than me. Yes.
Wow.
I do. And they're nothing like me. They're very nice. Wait, I'm nice. But they're just like solid human beings that create greatness in the world every day, but they don't have to be loud about it. And I just seem to have to be loud about it.
Well, probably being the youngest, you kind of have to fight for a voice.
You know, I don't, Gina. My family, I feel like before I came along, they were just a very quiet family. And I came in just, you know, guns ablaze and ball of, you know, piss and vinegar, maybe, and a little bit of sweetness. And I just added a whole bunch of energy, I think, to that family. And so even when I go back and visit, because they all live in Utah, and when I go back and visit, that, you know, they don't get a word in edgewise. I'm always, let's go here, let's go there, let's do this. They all need a nap when I leave. Yep.
I think people say the same thing about me.
Mm-hmm. I can see that.
Yeah. I usually need a nap after this podcast. So.
Probably.
So Jill is an EOS implementer, right?
Which is so cool.
It's really so cool. A lot of our listeners may not know what EOS is. So Jill, do you mind like just giving us a real quick overview of what that means to be an EOS implementer?
Oh, sure. So I'm a business coach. There's lots of business coaches out there, but the tool I use to do my business coaching is EOS. It stands for the Entrepreneurial Operating System. And it's just a complete set of business tools and practical principles that, every business, every entrepreneurial business, they know they should be doing, but yet they don't. And so EOS really does three things for a company. And we call those things vision, traction, and healthy. Vision from the standpoint of first getting the leadership team on the same page with who they are and where they're going. From there, getting the whole company to share that vision and buy in, and where everyone's working in the same direction. Traction really meaning that we instill discipline and accountability. And then, of course, healthy means that we're just communicating in a very open, honest, and cohesive way. And so we start working with the leadership teams, and then pretty soon we get all of the tools live throughout the whole entire company. And that's how business owners get everything they want out of their business, because quite frankly, most don't. And it's sad. So I just get to make dreams come true all day. Whoop, whoop. So that's what I do. But that's what EOS is.
Yeah. So I'm a huge fan of EOS. Used it in my prior companies as well. And I know a lot of the EOS implementers, and most of them are men.
Huh. That is true.
So what's that like, to being a female EOS implementer? It's what you know, but how do you contrast it? Why so many men, so few women doing it? And then
Oh, Keith, that's a good one. So I've been doing this now for about 5.5 years. And when I first went to the EOS training, my training group, which consisted of 8 humans, we were practicing to be EOS implementers, 4 of us were female. And it was a big milestone for EOS worldwide because it had been so heavily, male dominated. And I remember meeting CJ Dubé, and she's about 5 foot nothing, maybe even like 4 foot 10, and just an incredible woman, just a spitfire of a woman. And Don Tinney introduced me to her, and he said, "Here, Jill, you should get to know CJ because CJ is very successful, and you could learn a lot from her." And there were really only a handful of women at the time. And I remember saying to CJ, "Oh, geez, you guys have come so far. Gina, I almost want you to put earmuffs on at this point, but don't, because look, this is the real me, right? It's the real me. It's the real me 5.5 years ago." I said, "CJ," and I was all soft. I said, "CJ, do you think you're a really good EOS implementer because you're a woman and you're just soft and nurturing?" She looked at me with this look on her face of like, "No." She goes, "I'm good because I kicked their ass." And there was something inside me that just clicked, like, "Wait a minute. What? What's?" And I had to sit with that really for about 1.5 years of, do I approach this, as a kind, energetic, "Come on, everybody, let's look at each other and link arms and skip off into the sunset" type of approach, which wasn't successful, by the way. Or do I dig deep, do my own personal work, invest in coaching skills, because at that point I had no coaching skills, and really serve the people that I'm going to implement for. And I've had a total turnaround, and I am, I'm like kind of like CJ now, where you pay me a lot of money to kick your ass. Now I will hug you also. I'm a big fan of the hug.
After I kick your ass.
That's right. And sometimes clients call me, they're down, and I'll ask them, I'll say, "Do you need an ass kicking or do you need a hug right now?" But it's just being bold and speaking truth. The clients that I work with, the entrepreneurs, most people just bullshit them. Most people tell them what they want to hear, and they've hired me to point out places that they might not be looking in their own behavior. So, and then ever, when I took that approach of serving them, really truly serving them with truth, well, then my business took off. But CJ was CJ was my first female implementer ass kicker. And now there are way more women. In fact, we celebrate when we go back for training every quarter that now there's lines in the women's bathroom. So that's great. I think we might be at 25%. I would have to look at that. But there's definitely more of us. And we're being successful.
Why don't you, in your opinion, why aren't there more female implementers?
This is kind of how I feel about all female progress. I think it's just time. I think it's just give it time, and all of our inequality or imbalance or imbalance in paychecks and all of that stuff, and who gets maternity leave and all of that stuff. I think it's just going to change over time, because now I think we look at the classes coming in and it's about 50/50. So, it's not going to change overnight. But women really love being implementers. We're really successful being implementers. But you know what? I don't know any more or less successful than men. So it just kind of melts away the male-female thing.
What about the companies that you do this implementation with? You've done this with probably what, about 80 companies in a Texas area. Are those mostly run by men, or is there a big mix? And, you know, both the CEO level and then looking at the entire leadership team, because you work with the entire leadership team when you do this.
That's right. That's right. So now there's where there's a big discrepancy. And I haven't really dug into it too much because I'm not worried about it. I kind of have the belief that if you work hard and you provide value and you're useful to people, you're going to get hired. Most of my teams, in fact, before this podcast, I wanted to count. And of the 80 teams I've implemented for, 9 have been owned by women, owned and run by women. So, and I love those women and they're rock stars. A lot of male only teams choose me as their implementer. I have several male only teams and we talk about it and they feel like I bring a different perspective. Just Gina, it might have been this podcast that I was listening to where maybe it was something just about the differences between men and women. Women can just kind of step back and maybe see a big picture, things that maybe a man's brain can't see. Yeah. So I think they appreciate me for that. Also, I, you know, getting really raw and irreverent because that's what you guys like.
Bring it.
Yeah, here we go. Here's the other reason they choose me is because a lot of these teams, they come into me and they really want to grow, but initially they have this thing called BSD. Are you familiar with this term? The big swinging dick complex.
Yes.
Yeah. Big swing.
I got to write that down.
There you go. BSD. Yep. And they come in and I think maybe when they're choosing an implementer, if they feel like they're threatened or their manliness is threatened or they're too much testosterone in the room. And they feel like they have a connection with me. And there are many, many times, and I'm a mother of 3 boys, so I know how to handle testosterone, where I get in between people.
Oh, I thought you were going to say in between their legs.
Right, go to your corner. I'm this tiny little 5-foot.
I'm sorry. I was having a visual.
Ignore Gina. Just ignore Gina. You've got a great answer going here. Just ignore Gina.
I'm sorry. So you're used to getting in between.
I'm getting in between people. And I did. I probably said physically getting in between people. Well, because
that's a wonderful experience. You having 3 boys, I think it's a great experience for getting into this environment. Operating in a male-dominated environment.
Yes. I also, early on in my career, I was a preschool teacher. In fact, this is how I grew up. My family had childcare centers. So I, from the time I was 8, I was there learning how to teach and manage groups of human beings who happened to be 3 and 4 years old. So very often I will joke with my teams, that now I coach leadership teams. I used to teach preschool, not much difference.
It's not. I mean, actually, yeah. You know, people seek to be held accountable, but if they're in a position where nobody will hold them accountable because they're a CEO or because they're on the leadership team, other people are afraid to hold them accountable. But Amen. People seek to be held accountable. So that's really perfect. Do. That's actually a real key of EOS.
Isn't it though? Yep, yeah. Just the discipline and people love to know. People love to know what's coming next, just like children do. They love to have discipline. They love to have a rhythm. And the structure, sometimes teams in the beginning, they're like, oh, you know, you're telling us that we have to fit into this box or this structure. And what I preach to them is that structure frees creativity. But if you just have, Gina, like your 100 ideas and only one is good, if you had no structure for bouncing those off of Keith, you'd be off in a billion directions and not making any progress.
Exactly. Thank God for Keith. Hey, Warners, you have probably heard me talk on several occasions about how much I love wearing red lipstick. Lipstick is just one of those things that makes me feel good about how I look. And sometimes a little extra enhancement to my lips from Dermavogue doesn't hurt either. I've known Dr. Jim Turek of Dermavogue for years. He is not only my doctor who keeps my body healthy, he and his Dermavogue team keep my face looking healthy. And maybe a little younger, maybe. I mean, I love it when people say, something looks different about your face. But they can't really tell because that's really what you want. You want to go to a place that makes your face look good and it makes people wonder what happened. So what's really cool about Dermavogue being our premier sponsor of this show is the fact that I'm a client, and I was a client before they became a partner of the show. So we're excited about that. Dermavogue has been offering the greater Myrtle Beach area the best in cosmetic and aesthetic dermatology since 2003. Opened by Dr. James Turek, Dermavogue combines expert medical knowledge with cutting-edge technology, bringing you the most effective, flawless solutions to any skincare or cosmetic need. Their patients enjoy only the absolute best in laser technology, including photodynamic laser therapy, hydrofacials, and V-beam laser treatments, as well as the latest fillers such as Botox, skin peels, facials, and more. At Dermavogue, they engage you in the process of total body health to ensure your satisfaction with their comprehensive selection of the most up-to-date, non-invasive cosmetic, dermatology, and spa treatments. It's human nature to want to look your best, right? Let Dermavogue help you get there. Schedule your consultation today by calling 843-357-2444 or visit Dermavogue.com and tell them that the women your mother warned you about sent you. You can also find them on our website. Go check it out.
So tell us about, so what is it like, what are the differences and the similarities of the female, you said you had 9 women owned businesses.
Yes.
Versus, you know, and were those all female teams or mix, and then versus some of the male led businesses with both mix and completely male teams, or is it just, it's the same?
Keith, very rarely am I stumped for an answer because I can talk forever.
Yes, I know.
That one, there's no difference. Really is no difference. It's the same thing where, and it could be, Keith, that I have a very skewed view because I'm only working with leadership teams who are open, honest, want to grow, vulnerable, believe in right people, right seats. They're sharing this common set of core values. So I don't see a difference. They all have their issues. They all have their strengths. They all grow and mature at different speeds. There's just no difference. We're way more the same than we are different.
I do think it's a little interesting that based on the number of women leader teams that you have helped, it's around 10%, right? Of out of the 80, you've got about 9. What are your thoughts on, because there are a lot of women-owned businesses out there, and what are your thoughts on why aren't they reaching out for more help or being exposed to that?
That's an interesting question. I don't know that I have too much data for you on that. I will say that I think I get phone calls from women entrepreneurs that are interested in running EOS, running their company on EOS, and then I don't hear from them again.
Yeah.
So it could be, and I'm pretty, I know this podcast is, kind of focused on sales. We like sales. And it could be my approach is off-putting. My approach to sales is really the anti-sale. Can't stress this enough. I don't do it because I'm using a technique.
Right.
I'm doing it really to serve people. Because Keith, you'll know this. If you get into running on EOS and you're not willing to do the work that it takes to make EOS work for you, you're not doing the homework, you don't want to have the hard conversations, things like that, then it's painful. And I'm really upfront with people from the first phone call that, are you just doing this because you want a badge because your friends are doing it? Are you doing this because you think it's a silver bullet? And so I really dig into that and start coaching them right away. When you asked that question, I thought, I think they do reach out to me, and then I don't think they move forward. And I don't think they're not moving forward with me because I'm me. I just don't think they're moving forward at all.
Well, the reason why I ask is because I've known a lot of women who have considered it, but don't do it. They don't pull the trigger and say, well, I bought the book and I'm following the book and we're going to go through the book. And sometimes women don't want to ask for help, or sometimes they're in a scarcity mindset and they don't know if they should make that investment.
You know, so because I don't have a lot of experience with the women that call and then don't call back, but I'm going to compare it to, or maybe just kind of talk about what is happening in the women-owned companies that did go forward. I'm looking at all of them because I wrote their names down. This is interesting. I'm just having an aha moment.
Woohoo.
They all had a really strong partner. And not necessarily like a financial partner, like 50-50, and not even, you know, men and women partners, but they had somebody else on their leadership team that looked at them and said, we can do this. Oh, I just got chills. Oh, that's good stuff right there. What are you doing? Are you coaching me, Gina? Jeez. Coaching me from all the way.
Sometimes I do that. It's an occupational hazard.
I know.
But a lot of times we talk to clients about finding the common denominators of your ideal client.
Yeah.
So it's just kind of curious of the women that you are working with, you know, what is that common denominator? It sounds like it's the partner.
Yeah, that's a really interesting observation.
Say it again, Keith.
I said, that's a really interesting observation, because I wonder if there is, for the other people, there is this, I can show them on my own.
And I
don't know if there's this, there's any, you know, I've been in this kind of sheltered or even pushed back position. Now I'm just going to show it on my own and I want to do it on my own. Yeah. I don't know. I'm just guessing. It's really interesting. The numbers, I'd be curious to ask Gino or whoever, you know, it's like across all of EOS, what are those numbers like?
The numbers of women owned businesses
that are participating, because we hear a lot today about the lack of female CEOs.
Right.
But when we hear about that, that's largely in larger companies and they're not CEO founders. And I think a lot of that is just the time it takes to work your way up through the ranks to CEO.
But in an
entrepreneurial organization, it's yourself. You're deciding you're going to be CEO.
You know, Keith, you were an integrator, right?
Right.
We were an integrator. That's like, you know, if you're not familiar with EOS, it's like the president of the company. Sometimes, you know, the CEO, like you're running the company with this visionary that has all these ideas. So here is something you're going to be super excited about. Women are kicking ass at being this integrator.
Makes sense.
Now, if we talk, so we've kind of been talking women-owned businesses in EOS. Oh my goodness, women in the integrator seat are rocking it. In fact, I helped found a group called the Female Integrator Mastermind. It was the brainchild of Christy Clayton. She's a female integrator, and now they have, I think they got 120 members. They just had their summit here in Dallas. And it's literally like you think about these presidents of companies coming together to learn from each other, support each other, have each other's back as they go back to run these entrepreneurial companies. So they are on fire. I'm supposed to be advising them. And I'm like, dude, you guys are teaching me stuff. So I don't know how I can help you, but you guys are on fire. So that's a really promising area of where we're just seeing women totally shine.
I read a stat somewhere and I can't remember what it was, but it's like women-owned businesses are the fastest growing. So that's what kind of got this going in my head is that like what Keith was saying, when you're in a business trying to grow up to CEO, it's much more difficult. But if you're a founder, a female founder, you're automatically like when I was the rebel in business, you know, working for others. And I had a boss who said, Gina, when you're president, you can do whatever you want. I'm like, okay.
Okay, then I guess.
Challenge accepted.
Someday. Let's do it.
You guys won't let me be president, so I'll just go do it by myself.
You know, there's one other thing that I'm just literally just having a thought about. In fact, one of my greatest talents, or maybe my innate abilities, is I'm just super curious. And I don't have to tie myself to one idea and live with it. I just love to ask the question. So maybe you guys know, but where you said the women-owned businesses, like they're the most that are started, I'm wondering if because the sweet spot of EOS is to serve companies that have 10 to 200 employees, I'm wondering if a lot of those businesses are more like solopreneurs or freelancing, mm-hmm. yeah. or I have myself and two assistants. That's
right.
I have a company. Right. It's me and three people who help me run this company.
Right.
So
right.
I'm a woman-owned business, but I don't have 10 employees.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering if that could also be like,
yeah, I think it definitely is
to grow that big.
I think it definitely is. Any female related conferences I've gone to with entrepreneurs, it's usually along those lines of solopreneurs looking for help.
Why is the mystery solved?
And I think that's a place in a life cycle. Being a solopreneur then teaches you more about how to be a business entrepreneur, growing a larger business. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's a stage that we're going to see in this life cycle of these women-owned businesses then becoming, okay, I've done the solo and what used to be called a sole proprietorship, and yeah. now I'm moving into an entrepreneurial role, which is growing, which is more of having a larger business, people that's, working for you.
Just going back to the basis of where, you know, we kind of talked about earlier, where I think just time is the only thing that I see that we just need to give the ingredient of time. I don't, as a woman in business, I'm not chosen because I'm a woman. I'm not chosen because I'm a woman. I'm not treated differently unless I don't see it. Cause Keith, you're laughing right now. Cause I just don't see it. Sometimes I forget I'm a woman.
Okay. So let me, that's it.
I feel the same way, Jill. Sometimes yeah. I forget I'm a woman.
Yes, and looking at you too, I would never forget your women. It's so wonderful being on two beautiful women on this podcast.
Did you say you're physically in between us, Keith?
I'm in the middle on my screen, so that's right.
So that's the BSD going on. I'm sorry.
Oh, now I've totally.
Hey, what is what is.
Where were we?
So let me ask you this, Jill. One, you know, this is raw and irreverent on this show, and one of the things that I know about you is that you are not politically correct. And how important is that in being able to relate with the entrepreneurs, you know, both genders, all genders, one gender versus the other, in that role? You know, from a guy's perspective, from a male perspective, one of the things that gets said is she can play with the guys, not specifically about you, but that is a comment that is made, mm-hmm. you know, from a male perspective.
And that's true about me as well. Even growing up, most of my friends were boys. Like I could play with the boys. I will go sometimes on retreats or trainings where I look around and I'm like, oh, I'm the only girl. And then that's all. And the guys talk about all kinds of guy stuff and they don't look at me and apologize. And I love it. Like, just look, we're just humans laughing at something, somebody's funny fart joke. So, like, let's just all laugh that I don't need to be treated differently. That's kind of how I feel. Keith, I have a question for you. Where did you hear that I'm not politically correct?
Well, I saw it in action. Where was the last event we saw each other? We were at the Ritz. And,
at the Ritz. Yep.
Yeah. And you were on a panel, and you were definitely not politically correct when you're on the panel.
What were you doing?
Jill has no problem using profanity and swearing on stage.
Ooh, do you have a potty mouth?
Or making allusions to something that might be sexually or connotated.
Are you talking about me or Jill?
No.
Both of you.
And I don't. And here's the thing. I don't do it on purpose. But when I get passionate about something, swear words will just pop out. They do. And I think this is a fun topic because I will do speaking engagements and I'm like my whole body, I'm just so into it and I'm passionate about the topic and I'll just say fuck in some kind of sentence and the whole audience that goes, and then they love me. That's the thing. And then they love me.
Talk about pattern interrupt.
Right. And and I'm like, I'm sorry for saying that, but I just get so passionate about the topic. Now I've had, lots of coaches that say, well, you need to have some self-control then. But here's the thing, Gina, and I really would love your take on this. I get the evaluations back, and about 50% of the people like say, oh my gosh, when you drop the F-bomb, I listened to you from then on. Mm-hmm. Then I knew you were real.
Yep.
And they love it. And then there's times they see me speak again and someone has said, please don't swear, because in that same evaluation, someone said, you don't need to use profanity to get your point across. It's highly offensive and they're really offended. So when I take it out, then I get evaluations that are like, why do you need to swear more?
So here's my
hear you say motherfucker. Sorry.
Here's my opinion on that.
I've never heard that term before. I'm a fan.
Yeah, I've never said motherfucker. There's a great there's a great story about, I don't know, Keith, if I ever told you this story, but growing up in an Italian family where everyone swears, half my family is Italian. My mother was German off the boat. And she was around all these Italians, but I had an aunt, Angie, who...
Oh, yes!
Who, did you hear? I talked about it at some point.
Your aunt Angie would teach you how to swear, like in secret. I love that story.
She would teach me how to say, no, okay, Gina, say sucker, sucker, say sucker. And then she would switch it up until she put the F in front of it. And literally we had a next door neighbor who went to my mother and said, could you please tell your 4-year-old to stop swearing?
Oh my gosh.
So I learned it at an early age. So here's my opinion as someone who does get a lot of evaluations speaking, especially as a Vistage speaker. And I've had to learn to not be soft and nice and sweet because it does not work. You have to go in and kick their ass because that's the only thing that they'll really listen to. But I'm always going to have 10 to 15% of the room that doesn't like me, doesn't like what I did, didn't like what I said, got nothing out of it. And I can't worry about the 10 to 15%. It's like the 80-20 rule. It's like I can't worry about it and I can't change who I am or my style unless I'm like totally out of line. I can't worry about it because I'm not going to please everybody.
Right. I do have a little part of my process. Whenever I do a speaking engagement, I ask the organizer, is swearing allowed or would you rather me not swear? And I totally can not swear because I'm an actress, Gina. Like you can train me at some point, but I'm an actress. I can put on that face. Yeah. But when I walk away from it, I just feel like I left a little passion behind. It was 99%. It was great. And 90% of the people say, oh no, you bring it all, girl. If you need to, cause it's not every other word. I'm not like a comedian. It's like a handful of times when it's
appropriate.
That's right.
It's appropriate. I do feel like I leave something behind every time I go into a Vistage group and I'm trying to like be prim and proper. And then my inside voice is saying other things.
Yeah.
A lot of profanities.
I gave up the prim and proper a long time ago. And it's when I took my heels off, Gina. I took my heels off. I traded them in for Chuck Taylors.
Show Keith.
Oh, Keith, have you seen my Chuck Taylors today? They're plain old.
Those are great. Those are great.
Thanks. I wear them everywhere I go. I was traveling one time to an annual session, opened my suitcase in the days when I wore heels and only had one heel. But I always traveled in my Chuck Taylors. So my choices were I go into this annual with one shoe, no shoes, like barefoot, or I wear my Chuck Taylors. And so I just said, well, you know, I didn't pack both of my shoes, so this is what you get today. And it was the best session ever. So I'm like, I'm going to do this from now on because you don't get tired. And anyway, so now I've got...
That's why I wear cowboy boots when I present.
Cowboy boots, aren't? Don't those make...
Because they're sparkly. They're sparkly. No, they're sparkly and they're more comfortable than my heels.
Oh, there you go.
And they get a lot of conversation.
See, there you go. We get a lot of.
Now, one day I did show up to an event with two shoes, but two different shoes.
It happened. I was doing one in Cleveland. And because they dress really nice, I thought, oh, I'm going to dress like they dress, right, to honor them. I showed up in my dress and heels and they went, wait, what? No, we told everybody you come in here wearing Chuck Taylors. Where are your Chuck Taylors? Like they were nervous and disappointed. Like, oh, geez.
So that goes back to just be yourself.
Oh, well, there you go.
Speaking of being yourself.
Oh.
And your inappropriateness.
Oh, geez.
You are a self-proclaimed not a good Mormon.
Oh, yes, I am. Now, listen, that's right. You're right. And I don't even want to say I word that carefully because I would never want to say I'm a bad Mormon. I just
right. I copied what you wrote. It said not a good Mormon.
That's right. That's right. I am a Mormon. I was raised Mormon. I'm still a Mormon. I'm just not a good Mormon. They really don't know what to do with me.
What makes you not a good Mormon?
Well,
do you drink coffee?
Yeah, I drink alcohol. Okay. I drink coffee. I say fuck on a podcast. You can't say that. I love Book of Mormon, the musical. It was so freaking funny. Highly recommend it to Mormons. Just don't let your other Mormon friends know you're going to the musical, but it is super, super funny. Yeah.
How do your parents feel about you not being a good Mormon?
Well, my parents are amazing, and they're probably not good Mormons either.
Okay, so the apple doesn't fall far.
That was easy. That was easy. The rest of the Mormon world, I think they just don't know how they every once in a while they say, we sure would love to see you at church. And I'm like, oh, I bet you would. That would be funny.
I'd be like, can I bring my coffee?
Now, here's the thing. I have not met everybody in the world, but I have met tons of Mormons and they are the nicest people. So, so nice.
So nice.
And helpful and servant hearted. And they're like, if you got to be a religion, being Mormon is great. I mean, they're just so, so nice and community oriented and family oriented. There's absolutely nothing wrong with the Mormons. It's just, there was something wrong with me. It's just this one just didn't quite fit in.
You can always change. You could pick a new religion.
You know, you seen long, long time ago, not long, long time ago, maybe a decade, The Life of Pi, where at the end of the movie, he was just like all religions.
I didn't see it. I've heard of it, but I did not see it.
I feel like I've just transcended religion. And some people are out there. They just turned off your podcast. I'm so sorry.
Like, our podcast? Are you serious? They turn it off?
Maybe. I don't know. Oh, yeah.
They do.
Steve and I are in Texas. So. But yeah. I just want to love everybody, Gina. I just want to love everybody, Keith. I have one commandment, and it's be kind. Like, how easy is that? It's
just so I agree with that. And we've had feedback from people in Texas who have not liked some of our podcasts.
I know. I'm so sorry. I hope it's not my Mormon friends. Oh,
I can't remember which episode it was, but it was an episode that people were like, I can't believe that you did that.
Well,
I might get over
it. Win some, you lose some. But, you know, I've also been told by speaking coaches, if you get your evaluations back and all of them are glowing, then you're not trying hard enough. You got to offend at least one person.
Yeah.
So now it's my goal. Like, if I can offend at least one person.
Oh, it's a good way to look at it.
Hey, I do have a question for you guys. I think this will be really interesting for your audience too. So I have a theory about swearing. Here's
my
theory. It's just a theory. I'm just testing it out. When my teams are here in my session room with me and we are working on their company in their session, if their culture is to swear, I swear with them. Thumbs up. No problem. Yep. Everybody. Yep.
Yes.
Because it's a small group.
Right.
So now imagine I go to a different group. There's 50 people in the room. There's maybe 10 different companies and I'm doing a speaking engagement. I swear once and I kind of gauge the room. I'm like, how did they handle that? If there was I can kind of feel energy, right? I'm an intuitive person. I'm like, if they can handle it, then I might go there. But a group of 1,000 people, I don't think I could ever swear in a group of front of 1,000 people because I don't have a connection or relationship with them. There's no way I could feel it from 1,000 people. What do you think about my theory?
I agree with that. When I'm in front of that large of an audience, I'm like, because I can't see everybody. I can't make eye contact because I can feel the energy because I'm an intuitive as well. And if I have to scan 1,000 people, it's never going to happen.
Okay, Keith, what do you think?
I think it really depends upon the audience, but I agree that it is about reading the audience. If I'm speaking, though, I like to integrate into the group as much as I can before I speak. So I have a sense I have a sense of who is there and then make that decision. And I'm somebody who if I'm in front of even a small group or large group, I tend not to swear, but I will save it for impact if I need impact.
Keith, do you think Gina and I can swear and it's more acceptable than if you swore in front of a group?
Yes, I do. I think there's think there's a little bit of a gender connection with that, because for a guy to swear is viewed more as normative, and for a woman to swear is viewed a little bit as abnormal. And the audience is more male, then a female speaker swearing in front of a male audience actually will create a connection. And then in front of women, it's like, oh, this woman is different. And so I think because of the societal norms that have been kind of pushed on women over our history of being prim and proper and an object, as you know, and so forth, and you didn't swear, you know, I think there's still a little bit of that residual unconscious bias that's there.
Yeah.
Coach Keith, I have been coached.
Hey, a couple more questions because we're coming near the end. You have a new book. Tell us about your new book.
So the new book is called In Courage. So I-N, courage, in, like as in living in courage. And it was really born from, I had a phone call with a prospect and he said to me, Jill, I know why EOS will work. And you could probably give me 100 stories of why it will work. When does it not work? And I, you know, we talked and talked and it was such a curious and inquisitive conversation. It felt like we were just really good friends by the end of the conversation. He ended up working with one of my colleagues in Chicago. They're doing really well. But when he asked me that, I thought, you know what? There are absolutely of those 80 teams, Keith, teams that, you know, and you've probably seen them too, because you're integrated into this community, that they start. And then you say, how's your implementation going? Oh, well, we had to skip our quarterly, or, oh, we ran out of money, or, oh, we didn't have the right people in the right seats. And they just back away from it. And so I just really went into this kind of, you know, a deep like hermit mode in my brain. And I thought, what is it? And it boiled down to me for fear. It was fear. There were fear blockers. So not the opposite of fear, but to combat fear, it's courage. So I just put together over about a year stories of this, of companies who really just live in courage. And it comes down to three big things. It's the courage to have discipline is one. It is very, you have to have courage to have discipline. You have to say, no, I'm not going to take that phone call from the client. I am going to have this meeting with my assistant. I mean, that's discipline. The second one is you need to have courage to lighten up. So that's why I love this podcast. It's so light, right? We're just laughing through these deep topics. But the companies who just took a lighthearted approach to their whole company, they took their business seriously, but they didn't take themselves seriously. They were able to move, you know, through the process, get everything they want. And then the third one is the courage to experiment, because we don't know. We want to innovate and grow. But the teams who would sit there and look at me and say, oh, we have no idea if this will work or not, and so we're not going to try anything. They just stagnant. They're afraid to just experiment. So that's the book in a nutshell. But and then it kind of breaks it out into some other, you know, other cool mindsets within those three topics as well.
And where can our listeners get that book?
Amazon. It's on Amazon. Just search Encourage Jill Young and it should pop right up there for you.
Okay. We'll put that in our show notes for our listeners. And I have one more question for you, and then we'll see if Keith has one more question and we'll wrap up. My final question, one of our signature questions, how do you define the word sexy?
Oh, crying out. I should have had this answer prepared.
No. No. Everybody says that.
But I should have because I listened to your show. Like, if I was not blonde, I'd be like, what?
Well, we just started incorporating these signature questions.
Okay, but you know what? I got an answer for you.
Okay.
So to me, sexy is adorable. So sometimes, Keith, you're going to laugh, but sometimes people will say to me, you're beautiful. And I'm like, no. I am not beautiful, but I will accept adorable. I will totally buy into the word adorable because it's fun and it's free and you're willing to experiment and explore. That's where I'm going. That's as close as
I like it.
As I get, girlfriend.
I like it. I have actually a performer at our theater who she's in timeshare sales and she would literally say, "And I'm adorable."
And I'm adorable. Yep.
And that's what helped her sell.
And I'm adorable.
That's a shout out to you, Petra. Keith, do you have any final question?
Actually, a comment on the adorable. That's kind of interesting. Okay. One of the things that a mentor that I have has kind of taught me is using that word in reference to yourself as opposed to, you know, when you mess something up, it's like, I'm so fucked up or I screwed this up. It's like, I'm so adorable. I did this. And it's because, and instead of cutting yourself down, it's like, yeah, you know, I experimented and it didn't work out, you know, but it's
how adorable.
I'm
is
so
that?
Adorable. So it's actually something you'll hear me say about myself is because, yeah, I'm so adorable.
Keith, the adorable. All right. Well, we need to wrap up. Thanks, Jill, so much for being on the show. And if people want to connect to you, what's the best way to do that?
LinkedIn is really great. Jill Young, Texas, seems to bring my name right up.
And are you in Dallas?
I'm in Dallas. Yep.
Oh, you need to come out with the Go-Go Girls. All right. I'll send you a message about that.
And crew.
I might take you up on that because I was just telling my son, Dylan, I'm like, I don't have any friends. Oh my gosh.
Here's the crazy thing. I don't live there and I have a huge posse.
Let's do it. I would love to be a go-go girl. Can I wear my Chuck Taylors though? Because I'm really not into
heels. For sure.
And girl, I know you love your lipstick, but I'm going to bring my Burt's Bees chapstick.
That's fine.
And possibly you a just, ponytail.
You just be you. I'll let you know when the next Go-Go Girl gathering is.
Thank you. So they're coming.
So thanks again to Jill. Thanks to our Warners for listening to this episode of Women Your Mother Warned You About. And of course, thanks to Dermavogue, our sponsor, who makes Rachel and I look so beautiful. And maybe Keith one day. And to connect with...
I can only hope. It's a dream.
To connect with me directly or learn more about Pivot 10 Results or Carolina Improv, you can find me on our website at womenyourmotherwarnedyouabout.com or ginatremarco.com. And Keith?
Well, if you...
How do we find you?
If you want to find me, the best place to go is to that incredible website, womenyourmotherwarnedyouabout.com. And you can find a link to my LinkedIn there. And I'd love it if you reached out. Please mention that you are reaching out because of the podcast and not just trying to sell me something.
Yeah, don't do that. We call that trolling. There was an episode on that. You can also find our social media links and free downloads there on our website. And if you have not had a chance to give us a rating and review on iTunes, please go and do that. And remember, for the best relationships, keep it real, raw, and relevant.
This really will get serious soon.
Yeah, it doesn't have to. I don't think anybody wants it to be serious.
This has been a presentation of the Sell or Die Network. For more podcasts that you can take out into the street and turn into money, visit sellordienetwork.com.